Hello and welcome to episode 157 of the Final Siren podcast. I'm your host, Peter Williams, and I'm back with Michael Alvaro to chat all things Pathway football. Michael, how's things?
Not too bad. Pretty busy this time of year, so plenty happening and plenty to talk about hopefully today.
Absolutely. There's quite a few key points to cover today, from the return of the Talent League to mid-season draft updates and representative action over in South Australia. So we're going to get stuck straight into it and head to the Coates Talent League, where round seven was taking place. Michael, you and I were out at a couple of doubleheaders across a seven-game round. Which matches really stood out to you?
I probably got the most out of the Gold Coast GWV game. There are a couple of close ones, of course. You and Declan got out to the ones decided by essentially under a goal. Obviously on Friday night, Danny Nong got up over Oakley in the last quarter, came back from a long way back and Gippsland edged past Western. But I think in terms of draftable talent and learning about players in the frame, the GWV Gold Coast game on Sunday at Princess Park was probably the one to be at. And luckily we had the box seat really to watch Jed Walter go at it. He went nuts with six goals. Ethan Reid, he led all comers as a ruck, took 10 marks. And Jake Rogers as well, fantastic performance. Then for the Rebels, of course, who went down in this game, Lamont Lowell was fantastic, and Joel Frazier worked really hard off a wing, through midfield and up forward as he usually does. So that's probably the one I got the most out of.
Yeah, and you wrote about Gold Coast draft conundrum last week. Obviously, it's a good situation to be in, but also bad from having to try and find the picks for it. After seeing their three top age guns go around again, has anything changed in terms of their standing?
I think they just keep going up. So it's going to be a pretty tricky situation. You call it a conundrum, but it is going to be very hard for Gold Coast to find all the bids, all the points to match all the bids within the sort of top 20 range is what we're thinking. So, and all three players, the ones that I spoke of just earlier from the Suns in Walter Reed and Rogers, they could even be ranked higher than that sort of general top 20. Just depends on where those bids land.
Yeah, and with that all said and done, I know the power rankings are due to come out next week. So where will they all slot in?
Yeah, well, I'd say Walter and Reid are pretty locked up in that top 10 for me. And I reckon Jake Rogers has slid his way into the top 15. So they'll all feature at the high end and on our new look Instagram post for the power rankings. So look out for that.
Yeah, very, very slick. Excited to see that unveiled for 2023. Moving on to the player of the week, and the Allies theme continues. This time we go down to the Apple Isle where Tasmania Devils star Colby McKercher got it done again. He's just having some kind of season.
Yeah, he's done it again, that Colby McKercher. He has had one of the most remarkably consistent years to date. Obviously, five games so far, he's had 31 disposals three times and 32 disposals twice, which is just ridiculous. He had his second 32 disposal game on the weekend to go with nine tackles, nine inside 50s and a couple of goals. He's been just elite in pretty much every game he's played, even for the AFL Academy. Fantastic performances. Obviously, Tassie, top of the ladder as well. They're a game clear. So the Devils are going, they're flying really under Jeremy Weberly. And it bodes pretty well for when they eventually do get that AFL team and their shiny new stadium. There's going to be some top talent, some really good local talent to strut their stuff out there.
And in many ways, with regards to McKercher, he's probably flying under the radar somewhat just purely because of one Harley Reid. Like, everyone's talking up Harley Reid, and deservedly so. He's still having a fantastic year, but McKercher's putting together one of the all-time consistent efforts that we've seen over the journey, certainly from the first, 7 weeks or so. He's sort of not underrated because everyone's sort of talking about him a little bit now, but looking at his numbers, if that was a lot of other players in many other years, he would be sort of front page news. And really, he's sort of taken that perhaps page two behind Reed.
Yeah, I think I've been probably holding off and giving him a Player of the Week nomination and maybe a bit more fanfare and things like that. But I mean, yeah, you're right. In general, I think obviously it's a bit of the Harley Reed and the rest kind of situation in this year's pool. And there's other guys like the Wizard, Nick Watson, who are spoken of heaps out of the Talent League. And Colby McKerch is right up there with them. Definitely a top five talent. And yeah, might even be, you know, breaching the really high ranks of that top five.
Yeah, and if we're talking about the Player of the Week, aside from McKercher, who else went close to being considered for that?
Yeah, don't want to harp on the Suns too much, but Ethan Reed, of course, was beaten out by McKercher for the vote. He was the other nominee there this week. Jed Walter kicked six goals in the same game. Obviously, has already won a Player of the Week nomination, so was ineligible. There are a few Eastern Rangers players who went nuts against the Brisbane Lions. Christian Murray is a bottom major, 34 touches. Caleb Windsor out on the wing, 31 touches and 16 marks, which is crazy. Just his work rate and running capacity was unreal. And Cooper Trenbarth as well, 14 marks, most of which were intercepts. Absolutely swallowed everything that came his way in defence. Other guys to note, probably a couple of AFL Academy members. Zane Dersma had 25-3 against Western as the power got over the line in Morwell. And Connor O'Sullivan, pretty impressive again with 25 touches and 7 marks as Murray knocked off Sandringham for the first time this year. So, yeah, some elite players doing elite things, but yeah, Colby McKercher definitely deserving of Player of the Week this time out.
Now, of course, round 7 saw the last of the Northern Academy game. So Brisbane, Gold Coast, Sydney, of course, are now done and alongside GWS and Northern Territory, who, of course, didn't play on the weekend. Michael, 3 of the academies went winless. Only the Suns and Swans picked up victories. Which side do you think was the best performed in your eyes?
Probably Sydney. They had 2 wins and really should have had 3, if not for a bit of a choke against GWV. And in the game against Tasmania on the weekend, who of course are the ladder leaders, they were in the game for 3 quarters before being kicked away from. So I guess just that that final quarter cost them, you know, another 2 results. So I think overall across all their games, they were the best performed, the Swans, and they've probably got a fair bit of draftable talent too. The same can be said for Gold Coast, obviously, in terms of their individual talent, the top 3 that we keep bringing up. They're incredible. And I think they just needed that big confidence-boosting breakthrough win against the NT to put the pieces together the next week against GWV. So they were fantastic on Sunday. They beat a quality team and they'll probably the next best performed and again have the next best lot of, you know, draftable talent, if not the best. And then you look at the Lions, who were competitive for a couple of their losses. They went 0-5. The Giants went 0-5 and, you know, they lost their first game by 7 points. The rest of them, they got absolutely smashed. Like, there's no other way to put it, really. The same can be said for the NT, who, I mean, you got a feel for them in some senses. They don't always have access to their best talent. And they have some exciting players, but they were outclassed in every game as well. 2 100-plus point losses. Some pretty horrid score lines there. So not pretty for most of the Northern Academies, unfortunately. But in terms of the Allies, there's going to be some good talent there. So hopefully they can put up a good fight at the National Championships.
Yeah, as you said, obviously the matches from the Talent League help decide the LA squad, being able to compete against some of the Vics through that Talent League. So going to be really interesting to see how the Allies shape up for their selection ahead of the Under-18 National Championships, of course, coming up very soon. So one player with experience in that competition is Nate Caddy, of course, Talent League star, who, with Northern having the bye on the weekend, made his VFL debut for Carlton. Michael, I know you did a player focus on him. How'd you find he went?
Yep. Pretty well. Obviously, he had, you know, ideal conditions out at Windy Williamstown, and I mean, his side probably, in essence, failed to adjust to that. There are a lot of kicks over his head when the Blues had the wind, and some really poor aerial presence from the Blues talls. But Caddy, at, you know, 192 centimeters, was really one of the only ones to take a contested mark and compete inside 50 when he had the opportunity. He only took a couple marks, and kicked a couple goals. But yeah, he was one who looked pretty lively. Obviously, as his athleticism's fantastic, that marking ability, as I say. So yeah, he was pretty much played permanent forward, and I don't think he really lowered his colours at all. So a positive start in tough conditions.
And of course, there's been much talk about him in terms of his best position. There's always that sort of Jack Gunston comparison for basically any tall slash key forward that is not quite that key position height. Where do you sort of see him fitting at that next level?
Yeah, you could also compare him to someone like Charlie Kerner, who's about 193 centimetres. I think Caddy's just a centimetre shorter than that, actually. But yeah, he probably could play as that kind of key forward. Depends on the stock in the team. Like, he, at one point, Carlton had Lemmy, Akui, O'Keefe and Murkov all vying for marks inside forward 50. So he's never going to, you know, be the spearhead amongst those kind of talls. But, you know, and he might struggle to crash in against 200 centimetre blokes. But with his reach and athleticism, he probably would thrive as that third tall, and maybe one who could work up the ground. He's obviously got the speed to hurt opponents on the way back, and then if you do play him deep inside 50, he's another threat in the air. So he's going to be that dynamic type, probably not a nailed on key position player, but certainly one who, maybe a bit like a Bailey Fritch, for example, could offer that third option who can lead up, mark and hit the scoreboard.
Yeah, and sticking with the VFL theme at the moment, obviously mid-season drafts coming up, and there are a couple of players who turned out for Box Hill and whatnot. So Ryan Marrick and Ethan Stanley, tell me how they performed on the weekend.
Yeah, they did pretty well. So Ryan Marrick, of course, out of Gippsland, made his VFL debut. Kicked two goals and two behinds from 15 touches and eight marks, which is a pretty positive return for your first up state league game. Obviously, as an overager, you know, he's a bit more developed than someone like Caddy, and playing in a decently strong Box Hill side. Ethan Stanley, the same age, he's come on really well for the Hawks too. He kicked one goal from 16 touches. So, yeah, he's obviously more of a winger than Marich. He's a forward. So, yeah, both pretty positive outcomes there for them, and they're by no means lowering their stocks ahead of the mid-season intake.
Absolutely. Plenty of players hoping to get their chance at AFL level in that mid-season draft coming up, of course, next week. So it's going to be quite interesting looking ahead to that. But another player that's been talked up ahead of the May 31 draft is Jack Buller. Now, Michael, obviously, we've seen him come through the junior pathways and whatnot, and then, of course, through that state league. How did he really go in Friday's state game against the Crusaders?
Yeah, again, not too bad. Like, without being dominant, he showed good signs, and that's probably all you're after, really. WA lost by 13 points. I don't think they've won a state game in three or four attempts, or in the last three or four attempts. So he was in the losing side. He had eight touches, a couple of marks, 11 hitouts. So obviously he's probably more known as a key forward, but can rotate through the ruck at 199 centimetres. And his best moments came in the third term, took a big mark, kicked a long set shot goal, which essentially kept the Black Swans in it. So, yeah, probably the most draftable player afield, and might even be the only one who's going to end up being drafted mid-season. But, yeah, probably, again, didn't lower his stocks, a positive kind of performance for him.
Yeah, and we're going to stay interstate with a look at the other trial game, which took place between South Australia's under-18s and, of course, the under-20s showcase. So plenty of current and past State Academy members representing the Crusaders on both sides. What did you end up taking out of the clash?
Oh, to be honest, not too much. Like, this was a pretty poor performance from South Australia, and I don't want to put the kids down, but they kicked 112, albeit in pretty trying conditions and against more mature bodies and whatnot, but they didn't look very good for three quarters with 112. Only ended up kicking three goals for the game. Of course, they didn't have Ash Moyer, one of their main sort of forward targets, one of their star players, but you know, essentially they're playing against guys who were overlooked in their own draft years, and I would hazard a guess that not many of them would be in the frame for the mid-season draft either in that under-20 side. So It's not a great performance. Doesn't bode well for how they're going to go at the national championships, unfortunately. It might even put a rocket up them to play a whole lot better when that time comes. But, I mean, even for comparison, Pete, you look at the Young Guns games in Victoria. Vic Metro and Country were under strength, but those games were close. You know, Metro even beat the Young Guns, and there's going to be more mid-season draft prospects in that Young Guns side. Guys like Clay Tucker, Ryan Marich, Luke Teal, they're all guys who are in that frame. So a stronger side, and the Vics did well. That, you know, people say Vic bias and whatnot, but let's be honest, that South Australian performance is really poor. And we'll get to see how WA goes against the Waffle Reserves as well. You know, to give you even more of a comparison of how they went. But if we're going to talk about positives, Will Patton, the skipper, was best on ground from the under-18s. Guys like Will McCabe and Taylor Goad, they did some nice things as talls. Tyler Welsh as well as a bottom ager. So there's a good crop coming through in that underage, you know, 2006 born crop. But yeah, I don't really think there's too much to be said in a positive light about that game.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, there's still plenty to go, but quite a few challenging results across the board due to challenging weather as well. So with the SA trials behind us, and of course, before we wrap up this podcast, what's happening this weekend?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, obviously the WA under-18 squad will be finalised with a couple of trials against Waffle Reserves teams. So look out for that. We've, of course, got the Coates Talent League coming back for round 8. We've got a return to Preston City Oval, which is great for me. Then, of course, the Waffle and Sample, they'll return in all the men's grades. A Super Saturday is upon us in the Sample under-18, so it'll be good to see some of those kids run around again. And school footy continues as well, so plenty happening, and yeah, plenty to talk about then on the next episode of the Final Siren podcast.
Absolutely, and that's pretty much it for this one at least. So looking forward to the action on the weekend. Hopefully it's not too bad weather-wise, but I guess it is coming towards winter. So it is what it is here in Melbourne. But that is all we have time for on the latest Final Siren podcast. I've been your host, Peter Williams. Michael, thanks for joining me again.
Pleasure as always. Look forward to next week.
Absolutely. So be sure to stay tuned to Rookie Me Central for all the latest news and analysis. And follow us at Rookie Me Central on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. You can, of course, subscribe to us on all your favorite streaming services to never miss an episode. That's all for now. Hope you tune in next week.